thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be with you, and appreciate the eldership here for, I think, for inviting me, but I appreciate the forethought that went into the topic that's under consideration, because I know y'all have some other things planned later this year that are dealing with the same idea of developing leadership. And I think that's an important topic for the Lord's church, and I'll tell you why as we get into the lesson. But as we start off, I just want to think about, maybe do a little thought experiment with you, on an exercise with you, just to maybe frame what we're going to be dealing with. I want you to suppose that this morning, when you showed up for worship, whoever it is that maybe prepares the trays here realized there was a problem. And the problem is, there was no fruit of the vine, no grape juice. And so whoever is kind of takes over that and responsible for that, ask around and say, do we have any grape juice? No grape juice. Now, no blame being cast here. Something happened and that was overlooked. How many of you would feel some urgency in solving that problem? Or would it just be like, well, no big deal. We don't have to have grape juice. I suspect that there would probably be some urgency. Someone would say, we need to solve this problem. Well, what solutions could there possibly be? Well, maybe we can delay services. Someone run to Walmart real quick and get some grape juice, or maybe run to the house or get some. Or if that were not going to be feasible, maybe we could just have services and have the Lord's Supper in the evening, where everybody partakes of it in the evening. So there could probably be some potential solutions there. But I suspect that everyone would say, we need to find a solution to this. We need to do something about this. So services are going to be delayed. Head off to Walmart. Walmart doesn't have any. Go to the Dollar General. They're out as well. You start to ask questions. What's going on here? Well, you know, supply chain issues. And this is one of the things that's difficult to come by right now. Now, what are you thinking? I can't believe this. What are we going to do? We can't find grape juice anywhere in Coleman. What solution? Well, there's not an immediate solution now. But how many of you would say, well, no problem. I'm comfortable with that. That's no problem. I suspect even if we had to say, well, this Sunday, we're not going to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper because we don't have the emblems that the Lord instructed us to use. But I don't think anybody would say, no problem. There would be an urgency in that. There would be something. We need to do something about that. So what possibly would we do? Well, we would, after services, I can imagine somebody going home, getting on the computer. Can we mail order this stuff? Maybe it'll be here by next Sunday. Make sure that we have this. Or, you know, get in the car, drive to the nearest place. Maybe there's some in Atlanta. Would you be willing to drive all the way to Atlanta to solve this problem so that we don't have the same thing happen next Sunday? I suspect that there would be people willing to do that. Why? Because we look at it and we say, we know the Lord's will. We know what the Lord instructed us. He left a pattern for us to remember His Son in this way, and we want to be sure to keep this. And if we have to drive to Atlanta to follow that pattern, then we're willing to do it. Let's take it to an extreme. There's none in Atlanta. As a matter of fact, it seems worldwide there's just an absence of grape juice. Now, what are the solutions at this point? You know, I think if we handled this topic the way that some handle other topics, there would be a relief saying, all right, well, we're not responsible. But I don't really think that we would feel that way, would we? We would feel, we want to make sure this happens. What level would we go to make sure that we could accomplish the Lord's pattern, or follow the Lord's pattern? Would we continue to look elsewhere? If we found some, would we stockpile so that this wouldn't happen again? I think that would be reasonable, probably, under those circumstances. Let's take it all the way to the extreme. No grape juice to be found anywhere, no prospect of getting it anytime soon. Would you think it absolutely absurd if we could find grape seeds to plant grape seeds? And someone would say, well, you wouldn't have any grapes produced for 2 to 7 years. That's right. Do you still think it'd be best to go ahead and plant grape seeds since we don't see any prospect of getting any grape juice anytime soon? I suspect if we just thought that through and deliberated that, that we would probably be willing to go to that extreme. Why? Because we've seen what our Lord wants us to do. And we feel a strong desire to try to do that and to put whatever type of effort we can in to follow that pattern that the Lord has given us. That urgency that we would feel with that, and I know maybe that's a silly illustration in some ways, but that urgency that we feel in that, I think, is a good urgency. Because we want to please our Lord. And our Lord is looking for those type, I think, that type of attitude in us. That we are searching to please Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. We make it our aim to be well pleasing to Him. And that's the way we approach the Scripture. We look, what is His will? We want to follow that. Well, there's another pattern in the Scripture. And you already know, since you know what the topic is, of what I'm dealing with. There's a pattern in the Scripture for the organization of a local church and the leadership of the local church. You know, we see in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy write that epistle to the church there at Philippi, and they address it to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. The elders and the deacons. The church in Philippi had elders. The church in Jerusalem had elders in Acts chapter 15. We see that. The church in Ephesus had elders. We see that in Acts chapter 20. You remember on Paul's first missionary journey on the return in chapter 14 of the book of Acts. It says that they appointed elders in every church. That's the pattern that the Lord desired for local congregations, is to have that type of leadership. When Paul wrote to Titus, he said that he left Titus in Crete, that he may appoint elders. And he said there were things that were lacking there. And it seems that leadership in local congregations, elders, qualified men serving as elders in those local congregations, was lacking. And he left Titus there to appoint men to those positions. That is what the Lord intends for it to be. Now, I live in Franklin County, Alabama, and I believe there are 12 non-institutional congregations in Franklin County. Those congregations, I think, have all been in existence for 40-plus years, some of them much longer than that. Out of those 12 congregations, currently, there are only 3 that have elders, that are led by elders. And as I said, these are not new congregations. These congregations have been there 40-plus years. And I don't think that's just in Franklin County. From talking with people in other places, that's pretty common. We're not unaccustomed to seeing churches, the Lord's churches in different places, operate without elders. That's almost normal for us to see many times. And so maybe because it's so common that we see that there's not that same urgency to say, now, wait a minute, here's the pattern that the Lord left. And that's not what's taking place here. Something needs to be done about that. I think that we can easily become comfortable with saying, well, you know, we don't have elders, but we haven't had elders in a long time. There are a lot of other congregations that don't have elders. I think that's okay. And I don't think that we would have that same type of attitude with any other pattern, maybe, that the Lord gives for the local congregation. And I think that that's a problem. And I think that maybe something that's overlooked is the Lord left that pattern because that's what's best for local congregations. That's the way He designed it to operate. And you ever thought about, you ever had a flat and you open your trunk up, you lift up that little piece of cardboard with the carpet on it, and you look, and you never thought about this before, but you didn't get the full-size spare. You got the little donut spare, and you put the little donut spare on your car, and then you get back on the road, and you're driving with the little donut spare. Now, that little donut spare allows the car to go. It rolls. It'll eventually get you where you want to go, but you can't go over 35 miles an hour or whatever it is. But that's not the way that car was operated, or designed to be operated. That was not the way that it functions the best. And a local congregation does not function to its full capacity when it doesn't have qualified men serving as elders. The Lord designed it that way. Now, I will say this. There are times where congregations have to operate without elderships. We see that in the New Testament. In that first missionary journey, there were congregations established. But it was some time before elders were appointed there. That makes sense. We know of places where a congregation just starts. There are no men that are qualified to serve in that. What do? Well, they do the best they can in that. But that's not the way that's intended to stay. And if that continues for decade after decade, we may begin to wonder, is something wrong here? Why has this congregation not developed men that are able to serve in this capacity and follow the Lord's pattern in that? And that's really what I want you to think about in this lesson. Because if for some reason a congregation doesn't have elders, let's be sure that it's not because we just failed to make preparation to do that. Because that just wasn't important enough for us to make sure that we're working towards that. And I think sometimes that's the problem that happens with things, particularly when it's long-term goals. Because when you don't have elders, there's usually not a quick solution to that. You usually can't look around and say, I actually heard a story one time, and if I remember correctly, it was told on a congregation in Franklin County, Alabama, that a preacher came and held a gospel meeting for them, talked about the organization of the local church, talked about the need for eldership. After the meeting, the men had a gathering and said, you know what? Brother so-and-so talked about that, and I think he's right. That's what the Bible teaches. And so they appointed a man as an elder. And he was a 20-year-old single school teacher, 20-year-old single man who's a school teacher. That's not the solution. That's not the solution. And so when you look at what the Scripture says about that and you say, okay, we need men that meet this qualification, and you look around, sometimes you may say, well, we don't have men that meet those qualifications. What are we going to do? Long-term solution. And it's going to take some forethought, and it's going to take some planning to see how that could be accomplished. But I'll tell you what, there needs to be that urgency in the sense of let's get started in doing something. Now, you're a congregation. You have elders. Y'all have had elders for quite a few years, uninterrupted, correct? Yeah. And so you're kind of used to elders being there. And sometimes that can be a danger too, because what we begin to think is, well, you know, there'll just always be somebody else to take that spot. And that's ideally, that's the way it should work. That's great. But it doesn't always work that way. Because sometimes people don't develop themselves like they should. And even if a congregation's had elders for decades, it comes to the point where they look around and say, all right, we need somebody else to serve. And nobody's prepared themselves to serve in that capacity. And so here a congregation that's had elders for years now finds themselves without elders. Here's the point that I want to make. If we are to have grape juice today, somebody had to plant grapes a while back. And if we're going to have grape juice in a few years from now, somebody somewhere needs to be planting grapes. If we're going to have elders in the future, it'll be because there's some planning and forethought that are going into a congregation's development. And the men who are developing in that congregation to one day serve in that capacity. So I want us just to think about some things that maybe we can do with that in mind, seeing that need ahead of us, some things that we can do to help prepare men to be ready to serve when the time comes. And I want everybody, I think everybody in this group here could have some part in doing that. So let's just think about a few things. The first thing is just what I've tried to do in the introduction of this lesson, and that is see the need as important. See it as this is our Lord's will. This is what our Lord desires for this congregation. So we need to make that happen. If it's all possible, we need to make that happen. We need to emphasize that it's God's will for qualified men to take on this work. And we need to remind people of what the future can look like if men prepare themselves for this work. And I think it's important to remember and remind people what the future will look like if men don't prepare themselves for this work. This congregation could look very different in 30 years if men are not preparing themselves for this work. Not in a good way. It could look very bleak for this congregation if men are not developing themselves in this way. Second, we need to stir up a desire in men for this work. I don't know what may be the biggest problem nationwide or worldwide why congregations have a lack of men qualified to serve, but I would guess right at the top of the list would have to be that men don't desire the work. And they haven't desired the work. They've never desired the work. And therefore, they never developed themselves for such. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying. This is trustworthy. This is a statement that you can count on. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." Men, we need to see the truth of that statement. First, we need to see that the work of an elder or a bishop is a good work. It's helping to accomplish our Lord's will, and that's a good work. And that being the case, we should desire that good work. We should desire to help with that, fulfill the Lord's will in that, if it's at all possible. And I think it's better to stir up that desire younger rather than later. I don't know what the experience has been here with this congregation, but I think what I've seen in other places and in talking with other people is the time comes when you look and you say, well, you know, our elders are getting on up there in years. We really need, before long, we're going to need somebody else to serve. And so the congregation starts looking around and saying, Well, who could be a potential candidate for an elder? And they look around and they don't see many. But here they see someone and they're in their 40s and they have a nice family, godly wife, children that are doing really well. They're knowledgeable in the Scripture. They've developed themselves in being able to lead the congregation. They're a good teacher in many ways. And so we start talking to them and say, "Brother, you know, I think you'd make a good elder. And I want you to start thinking about possibly serving as an elder one day." The problem with that is if we just start looking and trying to encourage people who are in their 40s to start thinking about that, there's so few like that. Because they've already shaped their life in a number of ways. Now let me contrast that with what if we could start encouraging a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, maybe a 7-year-old. And you say, well, they don't have any of the qualities. That's right. But you know what? They haven't made any of the choices yet that disqualify so many later on. And if we could talk to them and say, you know what's a really good work? Shepherding the Lord's church. That's a really good work. And I hope one day you could do that. You know, we need elders in the Lord's church. And I hope one day you could serve as an elder. There was a preacher that, well, he had a big impact on me because he was, when I first became a Christian, he was the one preaching at the congregation I attended. Leonard White was his name. And not many people around here know Leonard. He preached in Arkansas and in Texas and in Mississippi some. But Leonard was actually the first one that ever got me thinking this direction. Because he told the story. His dad was a gospel preacher. And when Leonard was, I'm guessing probably, this part of the story may have happened actually quite earlier. But he talked to his dad about that he wanted to be a gospel preacher one day. And his dad said, well, that's wonderful. There's a need for gospel preachers. And I think that that's great. But Leonard, what I really hope that you'll do is develop yourself to one day serve as an elder. And he said, because I think one of the greatest needs in the Lord's church today is for there to be men to serve as elders. And you know, Leonard held that in his mind. And he developed himself as a faithful man in the Lord's kingdom. And he did go on to be a gospel preacher. But when the time came and it was needed for him to serve as an elder, he had prepared himself to be ready for that. And part of the reason why is because he remembered back when his dad said, you know, one of the greatest needs in the Lord's church is for there to be qualified men to serve as an elder. And so when he was thinking about, well, what type of woman am I going to marry? That was in his mind because he knew that would affect whether or not he could one day serve in that capacity. What type of career am I going to choose? And at first, he ended up working for NASA for a number of years and gave that up to eventually preach the gospel full time. But all of the choices along the way, in the back of his mind, he remembered, you know, I really want to be able to one day serve in that capacity because there's a great need for that. That's a good work, and I desire that work. If we could instill that in our young men, can you imagine as they make choices as they go along and they're thinking about, well, who should I date? What type of qualities do I want in someone that I would eventually marry? What type of job is going to be consistent and complementary to my serving the Lord? I want to choose that type of field to work in. All of the decisions along the way. Can you imagine how many more men there would be at 40 years old who would be in that position to be much closer to serving in that capacity? Who can instill those thoughts in a young person's mind? Parents. Parents can. You know, parents, all the time, you convey to your children what you think are admirable careers, pursuits in life, things that you would be proud of your child if they pursued as they got older. Have you ever had a discussion with your son and said, you know, I really hope that one day you could serve as an elder in the Lord's church? Grandparents, you have a tremendous influence in planting those type of ideas in your grandchildren. Preachers, I feel we have a responsibility. What do we do? We preach the Lord's will. What's the Lord's will concerning this? We need to preach the Lord's will. Bible class teachers need to emphasize that. Just brethren, as we try to encourage and help each other, I think we need to show that this is important. But let me tell you something else. That teaching needs to be backed up with a respect for the office, for the position of a shepherd or an elder. If we don't really think that that's important, we don't really think that that's that big of a deal, it's going to be very hard for our children to think, well, that's something that I really want to do. I desire that work. I aspire to serve in that capacity. Because they don't see that anybody thinks it's important. You know, maybe this has changed some because our culture has changed some, but it used to be that policemen, firefighters, soldiers, those were all positions that were pretty widely respected. And if you ask a little boy, what do you want to be? Those three occupations would likely be one of the things mentioned. Why? Well, because people respect them. And you know what? They make a difference. They help people. They save people. Is that the way you feel about shepherds? Because if you don't, your children are probably going to pick up on that. They're going to want to be something that makes a difference. God intended for elders to make a difference, to help people, to save souls. If the respect is shown for those offices, there will be those that look at that and say, well, you know what? That is a good work. And I have a desire to do that. But I'll tell you what, I think one of the things that happens so often is on the way back from church, the parents are riding in the car with little Junior sitting in the back seat, and the parents are saying, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know what our elders are doing because that's the worst decision that's ever been made. I don't know. I can't believe. Why in the world they get Lonnie to come there? You know, whatever it is, this critical spirit of leadership that is so prevalent in our culture, I think bleeds over into the church. And I think that makes it very difficult for young men coming up to say, you know what, I desire that good work of shepherding God's people. So we need to work on our own attitudes with that, perhaps. Here's another point. You cannot have elders, qualified elders, without godly women. You can't do it. Because the way the Lord designed it is for a godly man who has a godly wife, who have built a godly family, to serve in that capacity. And so if we're going to have more qualified men, we've got to have qualified women as well, which means we need to be developing our young ladies to have those qualities, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, obedient to their own husbands. Those qualities need to be developing. That alone would help produce more qualified men. I have zero doubt. I see it in the Scripture, and I know it from personal experience, and I see it in others as well. There is no one better suited to encourage a man to be all that he can be than a woman. God designed women that way. To be a help suitable, to be a help meet, to encourage, to strengthen, to bring out the very best in a man. If we could get boys and girls both to see how important it is for local congregations to have qualified elders, qualified deacons, and they could grow up saying, you know, that's an important work. Can you imagine, here's a young man that has that in his mind, and here's a young woman, and she sees the importance of that too. And one of the things that have attracted them to each other is they both have a desire to follow Christ and to be as useful as possible in His kingdom. And they end up getting married. Can you imagine how they would encourage each other to develop these qualities that we read about there? And can you imagine her encouraging her husband in those leadership traits that would make him a good shepherd, a good leader, not only of his family, but of the Lord's family as well? And can you see how that would develop? And the more young people that we had that type of thinking in mind, when they met and were attracted to each other and were married and their families came along, what that would produce for the local church in the way of qualified men to serve in leadership capacities. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. So, what are some specific efforts that maybe local congregations can make to help in that? And I know that y'all are doing some things. I know y'all have Russ and Marty coming, I think, later to talk some about that. And I think that that's great. Let me tell you something else that I think is helpful for local congregations to do. Identify and address problem areas. You know, if you're looking and you're saying, well, it seems that a lot of men struggle with this qualification. Look at the qualifications in 1 Timothy. Look at the qualifications in Titus. Go through and identify which of those qualifications do we seem to struggle more with meeting? And then say, all right, well, what can we do to address those particular congregations? For instance, if it's, well, you know, they're... It seems like there are just a lot of families and they just don't have faithful children. They have insubordinate children. Well, what possibly could a local congregation do, seeing that is a specific problem? Well, maybe they could have special classes on bringing up children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Maybe more teaching from the pulpit could be done on that. Maybe special meetings where you bring somebody in that deals with that, because you see, this is a reoccurring problem that we see in the church. Or if it's, well, we just don't have men that are apt to teach. Well, then maybe more effort, more opportunities can be offered to have men develop themselves into teachers. Or maybe lack of hospitality is one. Well, what could you do with that? Well, you could look to see, how can we learn to notice those who are in need? How can we develop a love for them? How can we learn to open up our homes and use our resources for the Lord's people? It may be any one of those qualifications, but if you can identify that and say, this seems to be keeping a lot of our men from being in a position to serve, then address that. Because if it's a problem with the current generation, it'll probably be a problem with the coming generation too. And if you can get ahead of it by doing some teaching on that, then maybe you can help in that situation. Something that we do at Quinn that I think was, we put it in practice hoping that it would help with this, and I think that it is helpful with this, and that is periodically, we do it about every 5 years, we do, in our Bible classes, we do a cycle through the Bible, it takes us about 4.5 years, and then what we'll do is we'll take the junior high and high school boys, and we'll have a quarter where we talk with them about leadership development. And we're not just talking about public leadership in the sense of, you know, how to do a scripture reading, how to lead singing, how to do a Bible reading, how to do an invitation. We do address that in the class. But we deal a lot with what is spiritual leadership? What is spiritual leadership in the family? What is spiritual leadership in the church or in the community? And how do we work on personal growth, in the skills in personal growth, of self-evaluation? How do you look at yourself and examine yourself to see if you're where you're supposed to be spiritually? How do you exercise discipline in getting to the point where you are where you need to be spiritually? What's accountability? You need to learn to be accountable. If you're going to be a leader of a family, you need to be accountable. You need to have humility. You need to develop your knowledge, your service, your example. You need to develop a genuine love for people and a concern and an awareness of others. What are they struggling with? What are their needs? What growth needs to take place? Are you willing to reach out and try to help them? One of the things we've done is we do target edification. And I ask all of the boys in there, I said, I want you to pick three people in this congregation that you know are having a tough time. And it may be they're having a tough time spiritually, it may be they're having a tough time in some other way, but you think of three people that you know are having a tough time, and then I want you to think of things that you can do every week to try to encourage them and help them. It may be something very small, maybe writing a card, it may be just coming up to them and saying, hey, how are you doing, whatever. But every week for this quarter, I want you to do something with those three people. Well, what's the idea about that? The idea is developing an awareness. What do my brethren need? And then what can I do to do it? See, that needs to be cultivated so that that skill is there when it comes time to shepherd a congregation. Other things that I think are really important to talk to young men about is having kingdom first priorities and wisdom in making decisions. And in a number of ways, with dating and marriage. What do you need to be looking for in a potential spouse? What things do you need to be careful of in that? Concerning college, you talk to someone in high school, you know, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to study this. Well, where are you going to go? Well, I hope to get into this college and this college or this college. All right. What do you think that those 4 years are going to be like for your spiritual development? Huh? Your spiritual development. You're planning on going to this college. What is the church like there? Oh, I don't know. I don't know if there's a church there. Well, how are you going to develop yourself spiritually? Start thinking about that. Choose your college where you're going to grow spiritually, where there's a congregation there. Those are going to be very important years of your life. Make sure. What field are you going to go into work-wise? Is that going to be something that's going to help you grow spiritually? Or is that going to be something that takes away from your family time, takes away from your ability to serve the Lord's people? Those type of things. By the way, we do that with the girls as well, not on leadership skills, the same, but the development of their qualities and character and being able to develop themselves in that same kingdom first priorities along the way. All right. Something else, and Jim's actually helped with this before, and I think this is actually how Jim and I first started talking about this subject. For a number of years now, we've had a once-a-month class with our young families, and the purpose of the class is kind of to do exactly what I'm talking about in this lesson. First of all, to develop that interest and desire to develop themselves to one day be able to serve, and then secondly, to kind of keep each other on track as years go by, in making sure that we're where we need to be in one day being able to serve in that capacity of an elder or a deacon. I'll call it an elder and deacon's preparation class because I'm not very creative and I couldn't think of anything else to call it. But the idea is to get them together and say, all right, so what qualities do we need to develop? And then what qualities are we weak in that we really need to work on? What can we do to work on those qualities? How can we develop these attributes that we need? And we really talk about things that often derail young families from developing themselves to serve in this capacity. Preoccupation and overcommitment to secular things. I would say that's the number one problem. Number one problem. Young families are so busy with their work, with their kids going to school, with their recreational activities. We've got all of this stuff going on. Busy, 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 busy. And in the process of being so busy, 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 our children don't get the spiritual development that they need. Marriages become weakened because there's not enough attention on the marriage. Spiritual growth as a whole is put on halt, you know, put on hold. Well, we'll wait. Once the kids get out of the house, then we'll have time to really develop ourselves spiritually. And it really keeps a lot of people from ever developing themselves to be able to serve in this capacity. Deal with that. Neglect of personal and spiritual growth, neglect of the marriage, neglect of spiritual training of the children. And then something else we try to do in that class is to equip them with the experience needed for the task of shepherding and serving. Looking at and trying to provide some insight into the work of elders. I think with the experience that I've heard with some is they have no idea. A lot of people have no idea what elders do. They think that elders just get up and make decisions. And they don't know. And I think partly that can be blamed on the elders. Because many times I think elders, and there are things that the congregation don't need to, it doesn't need to be addressed publicly. The congregation doesn't need to see everything that elders maybe have to deal with. But I think it's good for congregations to see a lot of the process of how elders lead and shepherd. It doesn't need to be done all behind closed doors, because then what ends up happening? A man growing up has zero idea of how shepherding works, because they've not seen it, at least not been invited in to the process of it. So trying to give the experience, giving some insight into the work of elders. Couple of things we do, we try to discuss, you know, either hypothetical or real life situations, and how would elders deal with that? How would elders shepherding a congregation, looking out for the well-being of those souls, how would they deal with this situation, with this unruly member, or with this problem, or this false doctrine that comes in, or this need that comes up? How would you accomplish that? One of the things that we've done, too, is we've invited elders, and we invited Jim at one point to come and talk to the group about their experiences and advice that they would give as one who has served as an elder. And just give some insight and invite them to ask questions. Because that gets them to thinking, okay, all right, I see. And they get this experience from other places. And I think that's helpful in that. And then I think it's important, too, to give younger men the opportunity to see the work of elders. And I think that can be done in a number of ways. One is by when an elder's out visiting, maybe take a younger man along with him if possible. Give those opportunities for young men to see the work, to kind of shadow and see what's going on there. What's the purpose of it? The purpose of it is we want to look ahead and say, you know what? 30 years from now, we want this congregation to follow the pattern that the Lord has given in the New Testament. And for us to do that, we need to have the foresight to start developing our young people so that they are faithful Christians and have the skills that they need, that when the time comes for them to step up into that role, they're prepared to do so. And so we don't have a time where we show up and go, oh no, we don't have anybody qualified to serve. What are we going to do? There are no quick fixes when it comes to a lack of qualified men to serve as elders and deacons. But I do believe there are long-range efforts that a congregation can make to help develop their families to have those qualities that when the time comes, they'll have people prepared. So let's have the foresight to think ahead, think about what our Lord's will is, and think about how can we be accomplishing that. Every generation has to plant some grape seeds when it comes to thinking about the future work of our Lord's kingdom. And so let's be diligent about doing that. Thank you for your good attention. I know this may be a subject matter that not everybody had as much interest in, perhaps. But I hope you do, because it has to do with our Lord's will. And that should catch our attention. So what are we doing? Well, we're trying to serve our Lord. How do we do that? Well, first and foremost, what we do is we make sure that we're what we're supposed to be in the kingdom. Someone said one time, he said, well, really, having qualified men to serve as elders is almost as simple as just having faithful Christians. You look at the qualifications of an elder, really, almost all of those qualifications are the qualifications you would say, well, that's a man who is a faithful Christian and has lived as a faithful Christian for a long time. I know there are some exceptions in that. But that's what we're trying to do. And so I don't want to leave the impression, look, the important thing is we've just got to get a few men to meet these qualifications and then we're good. No, what we need is we need all of us to develop ourselves to be faithful to the Lord and to use our abilities and to serve Him with our full capacity. That's what we need to strive to be. So I'm guessing every service at the end of the sermon, y'all have an invitation. And the purpose of the invitation is to say, you know what? You're surrounded by a group of people that are striving to please the Lord. And they want to encourage you and help you. We're here to stir up love and good works in one another. So I end this lesson with an invitation. Do you need to be stirred up? You're surrounded by people that want to encourage and help you. If there's some need that you have spiritually, this is a great time and a great place to make that need known so that you can do what you need to do to be pleasing to the Lord. If we can help you, would you come while we stand and while we sing?